Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show with Mike Wood, coming to you live from the greatest city on the planet, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 11th day of July 2016. Well, a lot of things happening in the world of sports, a lot of things just happening in the world. I think one of the roughest times in recent American history has occurred, you know, within the last week. 72 hours of complete pain and destruction, murder and mayhem. And I just want to take a couple of minutes to just talk about that here on the Overtime Sports Show, just briefly. I just want to say this. Ladies and gentlemen, violence solves nothing. Killing policemen killing innocent citizens, and believe it or not, they're innocent until they're proven guilty. The racial profiling of it all, the fear of cops against citizens and citizens to cops. I've never seen a time in my life where you literally have to take a young black male even starting at the age of 5 and 6 years old, and we have to sit down and we have to tell our kids how to act when they interact when they meet police officers, like there's like it's some big curse that's hanging over our population, that we're beat down and they're over us and they are mashing us down, and we have to kowtow basically in order to stay alive, where others don't have to do that or don't have that worry about their child. I don't know of, you know, unless the kid drives fast or they're using drugs, where one Caucasian group will sit there and worry about whether or not I send my kids out and they're going to be murdered by cops. But black parents have to worry about whether or not my son is going to come home from school, from studying. I mean, they can have a PhD, a DVD, they can have anything they want to, but it doesn't make any difference because profiling exists. And this is something that we must work on. This is something we must stop. You're saying, well, Mike, it's not an easy job. I know that. My father was a police officer. My son is a police officer. I worked within the juvenile justice system for over 20 years. I know that it's not easy. I know that a police officer runs into tough stuff every day. I know that police officers aren't paid very well. I know that police officers are heroic. I know that police officers keep our community safe. But you can't break the law to enforce the law. You can't have one set of laws for one people and one set for the other, because I'm telling you, if you do, the oppressed people that continue to get kicked in the face will not continue. You kick the dog with so many times and he cowers down, but one day he's going to turn around and he's going to bite, and then all of a sudden you're going to say, why did the dog bite me? Well, you were wrong in the first place. But anyway, enough about that. Tonight's guest, of course, tonight we have also co-host Linda Van Smith, but tonight we have a special guest from Lincoln University, CIAA team, and that is Coach Herb Pickens. How are you doing this evening, Coach?
Man, I'm excellent, man. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it is a pleasure and honor to have you on the show. First time on the show, and like I say, welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, let's jump right into tonight's discussion. Tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself and about your background.
Well, I'm from Los Angeles, California, born and raised. I went to Junipero Serra High School. From there, I did a year of junior college at Los Angeles Southwest College. I went from Los Angeles Southwest. I played at Grambling State University. And I finished my degree and finished my playing at Lane College in Jackson, Tennessee. That's where I started coaching. From Jackson, Tennessee, went on to the University of St. Mary in Leavenworth, Kansas, NAIA school, and became defensive coordinator there from 05 till 2007. And in November 2007, I came to Lincoln University as defensive coordinator. And I've been here ever since. And now I'm the head coach.
All right. So that's what you call working your way up, I tell you, having those different levels. And let me ask you this. As being a head coach, and I'll ask you this before I get into the next question I have, but do you find it to be extremely helpful to have touched basically on every level of football. I mean, you played a Division I school, and, you know, most people call, like, you know, the SWAC conference or the MEAC conference the mid-major Division I. Well, in my estimation, I've been around the country. I've seen some, quote, big-time D1 programs, and true, some of the schools in the SWAC and the MEAC don't have all the money, but they still have the talent. They still have the height. They still play football at a high level. So do you see that having gone through all those steps has really helped you in becoming a head coach and giving you an outlook that maybe some others don't have?
I mean, it really has, just because that one factor right there is the fact that I've seen every level and got to see kind of how things are ran, how things are done on each level, everywhere from JUCO to, you know, being at Grambling, to finishing at Lane College. So it's something where, you know, you got to see the difference between Division I, Division II. You got to see, you know, big money versus small money, and just the still the talent level of each conference. I mean, when I was at Lane, this was a time when, you know, Tuskegee was dominant. And some of those Tuskegee teams, you know, could have easily, you know, won the SWAC. So it's just something where, you know, you got to see that, you know, there was great competition on every level. So that's something that really has helped me, you know, develop as a coach.
Yeah, I keep trying to tell people, just because a school is at a particular conference, whether it's the MEAC, the SWAC, the SAC, whatever it is, don't sleep on them. You know, I think what a lot of schools make a mistake at is they come in and say, okay, we're going to schedule Lincoln because, you know, well, we know that we have more talent and we're better. You know what? And I tell teams this. You may have more talent, but see, what wins games is not talent but heart. So you keep messing around and you keep going out here and you keep grabbing these schools and you don't get your feelings hurt. You'll get your feelings hurt real bad because it's heart and determination that wins a lot of football games. True talent does come in there. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I would rather have a blue chipper or something like that. But if I could take a kid, and you know this yourself, that with the, quote, marginal talent and develop him into a football player for my program, for our way of doing things, for our process, and he understands what we want to do, that is worth your weight in gold. That is worth your weight in gold. But now, they said you came to Lincoln in 2007, and in 2008, they started a football program all over again. It was a 47-year absence, you know, from playing football at Lincoln, and now it's, you know, 2016, so you've been doing it about 8-9 years. And how have you seen the program? Now, it's tough to start a program like that basically from scratch, especially in the modern era, but how have you seen your team grow in that time?
Well, basically, where we're taking it right now is we're taking it from it's kind of stayed at a team level for a while. And what I mean by that is we haven't really gotten a chance to kind of cultivate our talent. And that's something that I've been preaching to my guys since last year, is just taking it from Lincoln University, the football team, into Lincoln University, the football program. And that's where we're taking things now, with being able to have guys come in. And, I mean, that 08 squad, I tell them all the time, I'm still in contact with a lot of them. You know, I tell them all the time that you guys were a great freshman group. And the one thing that I praise God about is that those guys didn't leave after their freshman year shell-shocked. Because they took the field, I mean, we took the field with 19 freshmen.
Wow.
On both sides of the ball. We only had roughly 3 or 4 recruited players that were older and had some type of playing experience. You know, so I had, at that time, I had 3 freshman linebackers, and 2 of which played all 4 years for us and finished with great, you know, great accolades at the end of their career. But, you know, I jokingly tell them all the time, like, you guys didn't get shell-shocked, and that's amazing. Because they've seen 3 and 4 old linemen coming to the next level with no one touching them. So it's something that they've seen, and they were able to battle through. But now with the talent that we have in-house and the way we kind of attacked recruiting this year, it's going to allow us to develop into a program where we have guys that know for a fact that they're coming in to learn this first year and to get stronger and learn the system, not really depending on them to come in and be an impact playing-wise. But when they do develop and get stronger, that next season they will be an impact player.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, I mean, you jump right in. I mean, it's almost like, you know, the CIAA from top to bottom in football and, of course, in basketball and other sports turned to a baseball conference now. But the CIAA is really a tough conference to try to cut your teeth in because, I mean,
it
it's just like it's battle-tough, battle-hardened teams from top to bottom in that conference. As a matter of fact, the accolades to you in 2011, you know, a team that just started in 2008 now. Think about that. In 2011, your team was 12th in the nation in defense. Now think about that. You got a program so that would make them what freshmen? That make them sophomores basically going into that season. And sophomores gave you the spark on the defensive side of the football to 12th in the nation. So the process, and I hope that the people could see the process is working. Like you said, building into a program when you can do that, when you can be in the top 25, basically, in any statistical category around the country, you're doing good for a program that was a baby. I mean, heck, you know, it's almost like we always used to say, the program was so new, we had to show everybody where the bathrooms were because it was so new, and that's the way it is after a couple of years. Now, last year, your team was 3-7, and, you know, I looked at some of your stats, and I saw that basically you gave up a lot of your points in the first period of play, which was, you know, you gave up 98 points, you scored 34, and in the third period, you scored, the opponent scored 107, and you scored 48. So those were two of the quarters that were what we used to call the bugaboo. But the most important number I saw down here was your time of possession per game was 34 minutes and 26 seconds, as opposed to your opponent, 25 minutes and 21 seconds. Now, when you look at that, that lets me know that you had some sustained drives on offense, that you kept the ball for a long, you know, for a series, and you just drove the ball down the field, but you were unable to complete it at the end, maybe to score, get a field goal, or 6 points. Talk about how your offense has improved this year, or how you see it as improving this year to cut down some of those in order to score the more points, especially in the first period.
Well, basically, we have found our true offensive identity. And that's something that we developed throughout last season. Our style of play and the type of young men we have up here, we have developed into a more physical style of football here. For a long time, you know, we were a heavy spread team. We were throwing the ball around everywhere. And that wasn't conducive to kind of what we had here and what we developed into. Now we're more of a what we call a pro spread type team where, you know, we're going to line up, we're going to give you fullbacks, we're going to give you tight ends, and we're gonna pound the ball a little bit, but we still are able to do some of our spread looks with throwing the ball and coming up with good concepts for our quarterbacks and receivers. That's really the first thing that we learned. Second thing from last season that we learned that was real, real big, it was a tale of two seasons. We had a slew of injuries on the O-line that really kind of killed our momentum. And that's where, you know, when the season split in half, the first half of the season we were 3-2, second half 0-5. You know, and that's when those injuries occurred, was around week 5. You know, we had to move two defensive linemen that never played O-line over to the offensive line. And that's where a lot of our production had stopped because, you know, when teams pick up on that naturally, you know, their blitzes got a little more exotic and their pressure packages became a little bit more concrete. So that's what really hurt us in the long run. And that's something that we made sure that we adjusted to come moving forward.
Yeah, because I noticed also that you're right, a tale of two seasons. Your penalty yards increased dramatically in the second half as opposed to the first half of the season because, like you say, if you move two defensive guys over to offense, and I know exactly what's going to happen. I've been in that situation too. What's the first thing if somebody tries to bull rush you as a defensive guy, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to pop those hands right up in his chest. And you're going to get called for holding on the offensive line every time that happens, you know. So I can understand that because they're going to go back to what they've been taught. It's a muscle memory. Uh-oh, can't let this guy go. Bam, high-low, you know, with the hand. I get called wax on, wax off. You're going to do it, and that just doesn't work too good. Well, now, coming into this season, all right, 2016 season, clean slate. CIAA got 5 new head coaches in it. You know, coaching turnover big time in the CIAA. All the film you basically had from last year, I mean, you can still use it. Maybe some of the personnel's there, but you got different personalities now of different coaches at different schools. How do you cope with that as, you know, being a new coach yourself? Well, kind of a new coach, but you're really not, but you're a head coach, a new head coach. And how do you cope with that when you get ready to prepare for your games?
Oh, this is all about knowing. I like to focus on us. That's my number one focus. We can only control what we can control, and what we try and do is control the game. So, therefore, we dictate the game. There's not much that the opponent can do. That's our number one thing. We are I call it a heads-down team. And what I mean by that is, you know, we put the blinders on and we focus on the things that we can control. And we go out there and we work hard, we grind, we get after it. And at the end of 4 quarters, when we look up, we think we're going to be successful. So we just kind of don't look at what's going on with other teams and things like that. Yes, the personnel is something that's big that we look at. But coaching styles and things of that nature, there has been a bunch of turnover in the conference. Have a lot of good new coaches coming in. You know, but then if you look on some of those rosters and you look at some of those coordinator spots, you know, a couple of those guys are just moving from different schools and different universities. So you can kind of get an idea of, you know, what's going to happen with that team.
Yeah, you know, I had a coach tell me, you know, that, you know, they may come in with new wrinkles, new things, new packages and stuff that you've not seen before. And, you know, being an old coach, I'm going to tell you right now, there is nothing that you can come in with. There's no offensive scheme you can draw up. There's no defensive scheme you can draw up that's never been done before because it's just been done. You've only got 11 players, and we've been playing this game well over, what, almost 100 years now? Well, so it's nothing that's been done. Like, when Kelly came in up at Philadelphia, they were like, oh, my God, he's going to revolutionize the NFL. He's coming in. He's going to spread the field. They're going to run plays. They're going to click him. I said, he's not going to do anything. He's going to get embarrassed. And everybody looked at me, what are you talking about? I said, you don't understand. The first year that he's there, he may throw a little wrinkle in on somebody that they don't understand. But I'm going to tell you right now, the first time I saw that ball snap, you know what Kelly is running? And why the coaches couldn't pick up on it right off the bat? One reason is because the coaches aren't old. They were young. But do you know what Kelly was running? He wasn't running anything but the single wing. That's all he was running. And the reason why they couldn't pick it up is because their daddies weren't even alive when the single wing was being used. So once you got the cat from Pittsburgh, LaFleur, whatever his name was, the one that the defensive coordinator is like 100 years old, they let go. And remember when they played Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh beat them to death. And the reason being because LeBeau didn't see the single wing. LeBeau played the single wing. So he knew exactly what to do. And the first play I ever saw, I hollered out single wing, follow the guards. You follow the guards, they'll tell you what's going to happen every single time. You can't do it without the guards. You really don't have a quarterback. They call him a quarterback. He is just a running back that can do anything. So it's just a single wing. But anyway, I mean, so there's nothing new under the sun that hasn't been done. Well, Linda, you have some questions for Coach?
I do. Coach Pickens, how are you this evening?
I'm good, and you?
I'm doing fantastic. I do have a couple of questions. Now, see, you were a powerhouse at Grambling under the leadership of Doug Williams. Now, what are some things you learned under his leadership that helped you as you journeyed to becoming a head coach at Lincoln?
One is organization. Two is making sure that your players and your team are always in a good state of mind when coming onto the field and when getting ready to play. And that comes from being mentally prepared, having a good, strong preparation week of practice, and just being able to really deal with what's about to happen with the game. We played in a lot of big stadiums with a lot of big crowds, so just kind of not shying away from the crowd, but being able and being ready to make something happen.
Okay, so another question. What are your hopes for your team this year in terms of success? And you probably just answered that as far as, like, being mentally prepared.
Being mentally prepared as far as success-wise, you know, we're looking to make some noise in the conference as far as, one, make noise in our division. We're in the North. Right now, Bowie and Virginia Union, and we're trying to sneak into that dance between those two and kind of get our name thrown in there. So, one, it starts with winning the division, and then from winning the division, you know, we can slide on and talk about, you know, playing for that conference title. But that's something that we definitely want to attain, and that's something that we feel like we can do it.
Well, Coach, I always ask every coach as it comes on the program, if there was a young kid out there, a parent, a kid who is looking for a school to come to, they do have the talent enough to play football. But the thing of it is, here's the thing that, like here on the Overtown Sports Show, we talk about more than anything else. I'm sure you stress that there at Lincoln is, we don't want a kid that can come in and just play football. You want a kid that can come in and be academically successful, get his degree and play football, because football is the reward for doing what you're supposed to do in the classroom. And, you know, it's like every other university, you put the academics first. You got to get to where, as my dad said, got to get the book work done before you do anything else. So what would you tell a kid who is, you know, has the moxie, I like to say, to get into your school, the academic prowess to get into your school, and also has the talent? How would you recruit that kid to come to your university? What would you say that made that kid go, Lincoln is where I want to be?
Well, one, you're going to come to a program that is rich in history. You're going to come play with a bunch of guys that are like-minded, that work hard not just on the field but off the field. Come to a school with a great graduation rate. Athletically, we're sitting at like an 89% athletic department graduation rate. Team GPA at 2.75. So it's something that, you know, we look for the big picture. Our guys are self-motivated. Our guys are hungry. You're going to play at a high level. And most importantly, I'm telling you these things because, one, you don't have a choice. You're going to do it. And you're going to be successful. You're going to be a success. And you're going to be an impact because we're not going to let you fail. And that's the biggest thing that, you know, we can really, really preach here.
I tell you what, I've talked to Coach Williams before, and that's why I love Coach Williams so much, is he loves his alma mater. He loves Grambling. He will tell you basically the same thing. You know, you're going to succeed here. We're going to make sure that you are going to succeed. And he is straightforward to the point, and I really like that in a coach and in a man. He's not going to sugarcoat it. You know, he's going to tell you, son, this is what you need to do. Son, if you don't do it, this is what's going to happen too. So this is you know, I like that. That's what I like about Coach Williams. Well, Coach Pickens, thank you so much for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show tonight. It's really been an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. And this is not going to be, I can promise you, the last time that we're going to have you on the show. I can't wait to get you back on. We'll let you get into the season, get a few games under your belt, and if you have time, because I know that the time demands multiply like crazy when the season starts, because that's just the way it is. But if you have time, we would love to get you to come back on the show and talk Lincoln football. So thank you so much for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for having me, and I look forward to coming back.
All right. Thank you, Coach. You have a
good
one.
All right. You too.
All right. Thank you. That was Coach Herb Pickens of Lincoln University talking about the Tigers football team and talking about the 2016 season coming up and the hopes and aspirations. I tell you, I've looked over the roster. I've looked at the players. I've looked at, you know, I matched up stats for the last 3 or 4 years, Linda, and I see they're making progress. Yeah, there's some bugaboos and some bumps that they run into along the way, but that's what happens when you're a growing program. They're only, what, 8, 9 years old. So, I mean, it's really a growing program, and they're trying to get their feet up under them. But, you know, one day when you go through that process, and if the kids stick with the process, then you can build championships off of your process and getting the right kids in. And it seems like Coach Pickens is doing that up in Lincoln.
Right, yeah, he was talking about wanting to beat Virginia Union, and I mean, that's huge. because Virginia
yeah,
Union
I mean,
seems to be beating everybody, you know.
Yeah, then you look at, you know, Bowie State is just like, I mean,
and
you know, Bowie State
exactly.
comes at you. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so Bowie State is the cream of the crop, supposed to be up in the Northern Division. But like I've always said, and you've heard me say it here on the Overtime Sports Show, every time we sit there and we have one of those meetings, and they always sit there and ask, well, who do you think is going to be first, second, and third in the conference or in the division? And I always sit in the back, and they turn around and look at me, and I go, well, gentlemen, I already know who number one is going to be. I'm going to let you all fight over 2, 3, 4, and 5. So, I mean, you know, that's my attitude about it. Hey, I already know I'm going to be the cream of the crop. Y'all got to worry about the rest and pick up the crumbs. If you ain't, if you are not the lead dog in the pack and you're the second dog, your view never changes, and you know what you have to look at the whole time. So that's the basic bottom line of that. Well, I also want to say thank you so much to all those who listened to the Carolina Phoenix broadcast on the MHE Sports Network on Saturday as the Carolina Phoenix of the IWFL, the International Women's Football League, the Professional Women's Football League, as they beat up. I mean, they sit there and put bugs on the windshield as they beat up on the Madison Blaze right there at Durham County Memorial Stadium in Durham, North Carolina. Beat up 56-6, laid the smack it down, and now they move on to the Founders Bowl where they take on the Concord Wildcats. And what's going to prove to be a very good football game, and that's going to be on the 22nd of July in Charlotte, North Carolina. So be sure to go to their website, www.thecarolinaphoenix.com, and you can find out all the information, travel information, hotels, game time, game prices, and everything right there on their website. Also, if you want to find out more about the Overtime Sports Show, all you have to do is go to our website, and that is www.theovertimesportsshow.weebly.com. That's www.theovertimesportsshow.weebly.com, and you'll be able to find out everything about the Overtime Sports Show, guests coming up, future guests, past guests, everything is right there. Also, now, we're on Twitter, and all you have to do on Twitter is go to @the1410, @the Overtime 1410, @TheOvertime1410, and you'll be able to keep up with us on Twitter, and we tweet quite a bit information about upcoming guests and everything else. So, Linda, I tell you what, the next voice you will hear on the Overtime Sports Show will be our mighty athletic director at North Carolina Central University, and that is Dr. Ingrid Wicker-McCree, and that'll be on 7/14, the 14th of July. Dr. Ingrid Wicker-McCree will be on, and she'll be talking about everything that is North Carolina Central University athletics. Of course, you know, North Carolina Central making great strides over there and doing what they do best, and that's win championships. So you be sure to tune in on 7/14, 6:30 p.m. right here on the Overtown Sports Show for Dr. Ingrid Wicker-McCree, athletic director extraordinaire once again at North Carolina Central University. And, Linda, that is the greatest university on the planet.
Yes,
so thank you
is.
For listening today, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.